This month, Shortcuts presents another Shortcuts Live. It's a conversation with Ariel Kroon, Nick Beauchesne, and Chelsea Mia about their collaboration in producing the episode Academics on Air for the Spoken Web podcast. That episode was released in May 2022, and that episode became a paper that they then co-presented at the Spoken Web Symposium and Institute, also in May 2022. After that presentation, I sat down with Ariel, Nick, and Chelsea around a microphone in the Spoken Web Amp Lab at Concordia University. We talked about the collaboration and archival listening that shaped their work, starting with one audio clip as the shortcut that caught their attention in the archives. They talk about the context of that clip in the VoicePrint archives, the potential for podcasting to be a radical act of unarchiving, and what makes recordings of a radio show a unique task for catalogers working with literary sound recordings, and much more. Plus, we hear three collaborators finally talking and laughing in the same room together. You can hear a bit of the room's hum, but hey, that's all part of Shortcuts Live.
Just as you're talking, I was like, oh, this sounds great. I'm just
Let
me just check the...
It's got to pull a Yaris and just turn it on and just start interviewing before we know it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to do the same thing that I have done for the other ones that I did this week, which is actually going to Podcast Voice to do the opening. I feel like somehow you need headphones to go to Podcast Voice.
Put it on. It's part of the suit.
Exactly. But no, I'm going to stay present with you, with the three of you here. We'll start. Welcome to Shortcuts. On this Shortcuts, we're recording live at the Spoken Web Sound Institute. I'd like to thank Chelsea and Ariel and Nick for joining me on this Shortcuts Live. We're recording this one in the Amp Lab on the sixth floor of the library building at Concordia University. We're surrounded by audio equipment and silence. So thank you for joining me. Would you like to just say hello and introduce yourself on the mic? Go ahead, Nick.
Hello, I'm Nick Beauchesne. I teach at TRU in Kamloops and the University of Alberta in Edmonton.
Hi, I'm Ariel Kroon. I am an RA on the Spoken Web U Alberta team.
I'm Chelsea Mia, and I'm a postdoc at U Alberta with Spoken Web.
Thank you. So the three of you just presented a paper this week at the Spoken Web Symposium. And the audio clip that we'll be listening to today and we'll be using to inform and guide our conversation is a clip that you played in that presentation. So to start our conversation, I'd like to play that clip and to listen to it together.
The main issue that I'm concerned with, especially as it relates to language, is what kinds of assumptions do people have about sex roles that they don't recognize? And language is a tremendous carrier of those assumptions. We don't know how to self-examine them. Yes, people are beginning to realize that there's a male culture, there's a female culture, and culture and language are terribly intertwined. But the question is, where have we not even learned how to look? And where is it that people are resisting looking? I mean, if you say to somebody, the pronouns you use say tremendous amounts about your beliefs and your culture, people will laugh at you.
All right, so could you tell me and listeners what we're listening to?
So that was a clip from the VoicePrint episode, A Room and a Voice of One's Own. VoicePrint was a campus radio show that was produced between, 1979 to 83, 84. So about 4 or 5 years. It was hosted and produced by a student, Yaris Balan, who was in the English department at that time, and was really embedded in poetry culture and all the really cool scholarship and creative works that were happening at University of Alberta. There's also a bit of background about the history of campus radio at that time, which is really cool and which we talk about a lot in our podcast episode. But what we actually came to present on was this specific episode on women's voices and on gendered language, which really stood out to us, all of us, when we were listening to the archive into that episode in particular.
Yeah, well, I was just going to add to that that the we're recording this in an English department. We're recording a podcast in an English department, yeah. And that radio show was made through an English department.
Yes.
But you were saying in the presentation it wasn't recorded in an English department.
No, it was actually Yara's studio was in the basement of the biology building on the University of Alberta campus. And it was not just the basement, it was the basement below the basement. So they were down quite a ways. And he talked about how guests found it very odd and a little bit intimidating to go visit him there. And so they would try to put them at ease. And that was just very, very cool for all of us to hear. That was a clip from Joanne Colmes, and she came on as a guest. She was working as an editor for academic papers, I think maybe an academic journal at the time. And so she was really talking about her practice of feminist editing at the time. And we were so fascinated by what she had to say because it struck us as very resonant and relevant to discussions that are all around us today. And though back in 1981, they were definitely still talking about gender firmly within the binary of sort of he/she, and now we have recognized, and there is a linguistic recognition of that there's much more out there than the binary, and so language is adapting to that. So we found that extremely fascinating, the way that it speaks to issues today.
Yeah, and especially how it came out of feminist editing, as you said, that that seems to resonate. Even in this conference, we heard a paper by Sarah Sipes talking about feminist editing in audio, and so it's really interesting that Joanne's thinking about this was coming from the perspective of editing. You've done a presentation on this this audio clip and the VoicePrint recordings that it's from, the VoicePrint radio show that it's from. You have made a podcast episode for the Spoken Web podcast. You've attended a listening party for that episode. And I'm wondering, for the three of you, what has really stood out in those experiences?
I think for me, like, what really stood out was the pleasures and joys and frustrations of working on collaboratively with Nick and Ariel, and how great it was to do something other than an academic paper, especially after 2 years of being in isolation, sequestered in my room, finishing my dissertation. I'm sure, like a lot of people in various professions, but in academia especially, it's isolating being a grad student at any time, but during COVID, it was especially so. Being able to have three of us be brought together for this project was so, so much fun. And I got so much energy and like inspiration from their different ideas and from learning how to work with people who have different ideas about audio. And we all of us brought different, I think, strengths and perspectives to the experience.
I think it was very interesting because as you mentioned, like for grad students, especially of English literature, we're not used to working with other people. And so it was very eye-opening to work on what is usually traditionally a solitary endeavor, mm-hmm. along with other people, but then have the added complicated factor of we were all in different provinces while mm-hmm. we were putting this together. And so we couldn't, well, we could meet on Zoom simultaneously, but we couldn't, you know, be in the same space editing audio together. And I couldn't just look over and say, hey, Nick, do you mind if I do this and this to this clip? Or, hey, Chelsea, what do you think about my research into such and such? You know, it was very collaborative and yet at the same time, not collaborative, because it was so difficult to work with that space between us. And so I was really glad that we were all here together, finally, at the Spoken Web Conference.
Yeah, I've never presented a paper with, like, other co-authors before, because we split our paper. So to read different sections, but also, like, our different roles. Ariel did a lot of, like, the research and tracking down of documents and tracking down audio clips and that sort of stuff. Chelsea did a lot of, like, the main kind of composition for our script for, like, the podcast. I did a lot of the technical stuff for the editing. I've never really been responsible for this. I'm just a useless singer. I'm used to the, so for me to step back from from the limelight and do more technical behind the scenes work as part of the podcast was fun, but also just, yeah, reading the paper, with sharing that with other people. And then we all wrote the paper together. So that felt a little more kind of like balanced, in the sense that we, our roles maybe weren't as specialized as they were for the podcast. So that was a really great experience.
Yeah. I was interested in that too, the way that the, often collaboration, might take the form of an article that you write together. But in this case, the first thing that you made together was a podcast episode. And then maybe the paper was closer to maybe a print based publication. And that's interesting to hear sort of the roles shifting or how that work pans out and is shared.
Well, you know, Clara, Jason, if you're making a book, you know, call me, call us.
Yes, it's possible that you might be collaboratively writing an article as the next step of this, which is exciting because it shows how, you know, these ideas started in a podcast episode, a scholarly research, and it will eventually take the form of a print article. But, you know, often the print article gets, you know, put on a hierarchy above the other, but if you hadn't made one, you couldn't get to that other stage. And so I think starting with the podcast too allowed you to really dive into the sound and think about multiple sound clips and also really reflect on what the podcast is doing as academic scholarship, which I think you all did so brilliantly in the episode and also in the listening party too, really reflecting on what you are doing as academics in making this podcast alongside reflecting on what those who made voice print were doing it within an academic institution, which is really a fascinating parallel.
Yeah, it's interesting too, like podcasting as a sort of radical act of de-archiving, in that we talk a lot about close listening at Spoken Web. But I mean, and you do that when you're doing like time codes and timestamps. Mm-hmm. But to create something from that, you really listen to it and it becomes part of you. You ingest it and create something out of it in a way that you don't necessarily do when you're doing the sort of laborious, tedious work of digitizing something and creating metadata for it. So, and which is like good and valuable work, but it can sometimes be like monkey work in that the focus is more on like doing the sort of repetitive, tedious tasks that are removed from like actual thoughtful intellectual engagement with your materials. And doing this podcast was a way, I think at least for me, it felt like so great to be engaging with the material in a different way.
Yeah. I like those repetitive, tedious tasks definitely prepared us for doing all of that we needed to do for this podcast in terms of close listening. And honestly, just in terms of like discovering that it was there at all. When I first joined Spoken Web, I started digitizing these radio shows. And at that time, we didn't really have any sort of schema for digitizing them because all of our, all of the sort of like accepted practices were for poetry readings. And so I was there as this new RA looking at what had been done before and saying, none of this fits. None of these categories work for this. Oh no, what do I do with it? And so it started as this problem. And only later were we sort of able to get a little bit more deep into the sound of it and the content of that sound.
It's like surprising and incredible of how generative the material is. So you start off. Yeah. So, I mean, I did a lot of time stamping before I did anything intellectual and fun, like what we just did. And it's like, you know, you listen to all, like, first of all, going to the archive to discover this stuff at the University of Alberta Archives, which is where we found this, not from the English department closet, like most of our other stuff. So it's a different archive. We have to track it down. I have to make an acquisition list. Mike proves it. We get the material, goes to like digitization. We get it. We split it into three. So we all timestamp different episodes of Voice Print. And that's when we all kind of fell in love with the show and became fans. And then from there, yeah, then you go to making a podcast episode, doing shortcuts, writing a paper, presenting that paper. And it's just like, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. I mean, we interviewed Yars. We interviewed Terry Winnick, his production assistant, and a female sound tech, which is very rare for radio shows in the 80s. So we interviewed all the Brian Fotu, you know, Stacey Copeland.
Jennifer Wade.
We interviewed all these people. We got hours of the interview footage, and most of it wasn't used. But it's just like, it just expands and expands.
Yeah, and the conversations with all those people that all came from the archival listening that you were doing. And also, I love the fact that VoicePrint brought you together. I was wondering how you had it first encountered these archival recordings. And so that's really beautiful hearing that. And also the way that VoicePrint as a radio show was also so embedded within literary communities and just really a show that, had so many writers on. And that was something I was really struck by in listening to the podcast episode. And I'm keen. I can only imagine how many more conversations could come out of the VoicePrint archive around the recordings of writers and conversations. It also sounded very much like interdisciplinary work too, like talking to people, across disciplines and inviting them into that studio and having those conversations. So I'm excited to hear what else comes out of the VoicePrint archives. So I think that's a good note to conclude our conversation for today. And also, I'm so thrilled that here around this microphone, these three collaborators are finally together in person after all your work across distances. So Chelsea, Ariel, Nick, thank you so much for joining me here on Shortcuts.
Thank you. All.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Shortcuts. This was a special Shortcuts Live, a conversation with Ariel Kroon, Nick Beauchesne, and Chelsea Mia, recorded on May 19th, 2022, on-site at the Spoken Web Symposium and Institute. A fun fact that you wouldn't hear is that we were wearing our Spoken Web t-shirts that we'd been given earlier that day at the Institute. Check the show notes for a photo to prove it. Also, check the show notes for a link to the episode Academics on Air. Plus, since talking with Ariel, Nick, and Chelsea, they have interviewed Joanne Combs, and a few clips from that interview could be the start of another Shortcuts Live conversation recorded at this year's Symposium and Institute. Speaking of which, are you listening to this episode and getting excited about this year's Spoken Web Symposium? It's coming up in May at the University of Alberta. Check Spoken Web's upcoming events to find the link to the full program. And who knows, there just may be Shortcuts Live recordings happening again this year. And so if you're attending and interested in talking with the podcast team, let us know. Write to us at spokenwebpodcast@gmail.com. Shortcuts is a deep dive into archival audio distributed monthly on the Spoken Web podcast feed. It is mixed and mastered by Miranda Eastwood, transcribed by Zoe Mix, and written and produced by me, Catherine McLeod. Thanks for listening.